Richard Reed Perry is famous for this. That's Arcade Fire, the Grammy Award-winning indie rock group whose fourth album, Reflector, came out last October. We're hearing the title cut from that album. Richard Reed Perry helped create the band's deep, layered sound, in which strings and synthesizers, slow ballads, and disco dance tracks are all at home. But his first solo album is a departure from even that broad sound. Richard Reed Perry's newest project is called Music for Heart and Breath. It's a collection of classical compositions featuring Nico Muhly, the Y Music Sextet, and the Kronos Quartet. Richard Reed Perry joins us from Montreal. Thanks for being with us.
Hello there.
Before we get to the concept behind this album, I want people to hear some more from the new album. This is called Duet for Heart and Breath. So there's a reason you didn't title this Duet for Viola and Piano. Can you explain the concept for Duet for Heart and Breath?
Yeah, well, the concept for the duet, as is the concept for the entire record, is that every note and everything that any of the musicians plays is played either in sync with the heartbeat of that player or with their breathing, or with the breathing of another player. And it depends piece to piece what exactly is happening. But in that particular piece, the duet, that's just two instruments, the piano and the viola, and the piano is playing in sync with his heartbeat, and the violist is playing in sync with her breathing.
How do you keep track of the heartbeat as you're playing? Do you have, you know, telemetry set up for the performers?
You have a stethoscope and you have an ace bandage, and the ace bandage is wrapped around your chest and it presses the stethoscope to your heart, and you try your best to keep track of that in one ear while you listen to yourself playing and the people around you playing with the other ear, which is quite challenging.
Here's the question I've been dying to ask you since I listened to this record. Is it my imagination, or do the musicians' heartbeats start to sync up as the music goes along?
They seem to do that, yeah. And the funny thing is that it happened during the recording process. The more that you sit with a piece and play it over and over and over again, people are very calm and people are literally getting in sync with each other, you know? And when we play it live, it's A, much quicker, and be much more out of sync with itself, which...
Because they're more nervous and their heart rates go up?
Yeah, because as soon as you step on a stage, your heart rate goes up. And we've had, you know, I remember the first time we rehearsed the piece Interruptions for Heart and Breath, and I think we clocked in at about 25 minutes. And then when we got out on stage and played it, it was about 18 or 19 minutes, which by any piece, any kind of music standards, that's a pretty dramatic difference between rehearsal and performance.
Now, musicians, as far as I know, haven't been asked to do something like that, to work with their own rhythms, their own body rhythms. Was it hard for the musicians to do that when you worked with them?
It is hard. It's definitely an unintuitive way of playing music, which is funny considering that it's the most intuitive, in some ways, it's the most intuitive musical reference point that anybody could have. But it's actually quite counterintuitive for musicians who have that many years of study behind them doing things in a certain way, using their breathing and their body in a certain way. You sort of have to relinquish a certain amount of control.
The Kronos Quartet, you know, they're, of course, a string quartet that's known for taking on unusual avant-garde kind of pieces. Let's hear a bit of them playing Quartet for Heart and Breath.
Thank you.
Richard, in this piece, when you have four musicians all playing at the same time, how does it work? What is the structure? Is one person leading with their biorhythms?
Yeah, it works in a handful of different ways. And actually, that Kronos piece was actually the first ensemble piece that I wrote after writing the duet. And I wanted, as I was exploring it for the first time, writing for a bigger ensemble, I had some sense of that I wanted it to be very egalitarian, and I wanted everybody to get to lead and everybody to get to follow and everyone to play their heartbeat and everybody to also get to play their own breathing and then play to someone else's. And so basically, yeah, it has different leaders at different times.
Now that you've completed this project, you're working with some of the heavyweights in the classical world. I'm wondering where you see your music going forward, if you're going to balance the composition with your work with Arcade Fire or pick one direction over another.
I'm going to try my darndest to balance it all, because Arcade Fire really had this sort of runaway success trajectory that immediately made it the priority in my life, just in terms of time and effort and energy. But it was really never my intention to just be a rock and roll musician. I already have a plan for what the second volume of Music for Heart and Breath is going to be, because I think it's a really unique way of writing music. I'm really happy that nobody did it before me so that I get to explore it more.
Well, look forward to hearing what you come up with next. That's Richard Reed Perry. His new album is called Music for Heart and Breath. He joined us from the CBC in Montreal. Richard, thanks again.
Really nice to talk to you.
And you can stream a track from Music for Heart and Breath at npr.org.